Christmas songs that drive Santa crazy are I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Underneath the Christmas Tree, The Jingle Bell Rock, White Christmas. Forget it. Enough. I've heard that over a billion times. Yes, Santa has an iPod and playlists. 980 Christmas songs. And then 20 Doobie Brothers. And one Sheryl Crow. My name is S. Claus. I live in the North Pole.
The best 30 plus minute album conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, if you'd like to know the secret of his holiday cheer, it's living in a 4x6-inch flask he keeps hidden in his sock. Leander Gainey is here.
Hello. I think I just got a quick swig.
This time of year, his house is filled with Christmas classics played on nothing but accordion. It is delightful. Lewis Wallace is here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely right.
Did you guys have any These Darn Accordions holiday albums? Is that something that
no,
exists?
No. Oddly enough, that band always takes a break over the Christmas holiday because our fearless leader, Paul Rogers, is in a fantastic Christmas band called the Christmas Jug Band.
The Christmas Jugs? What?
The Christmas...
What kind of band is this?
Christmas Jug Band.
What kind of band is this?
They're great, man. If you haven't heard them, go listen to them. They're on Apple Music. They got. I recommend you start with a song called Santa Lost a Ho.
Santa Lost a Ho by the Christmas Jugs.
There's another one called Santa Don't Do It. Also awesome. I love that song. And they also, they play like this series of gigs around the Bay Area and sometimes the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's like the only holiday tradition I got going for me. I love
it. I'm going to have to search for that on YouTube because it sounds like they probably have an epic YouTube video. Santa Lost a Ho by the Christmas Jugs. All right.
It's been covered by a variety of people, so you might come up with some, the New York Gay Men's Choir or something, different. There's a whole bunch of different people have covered it. Really?
Oh, they've covered that song.
Yeah.
Okay.
it's a great song.
This
it was
is getting
on
very confusing. Okay, it's a holiday classic, is what you're saying, and that
exactly.
It's performed by other groups because the song is so good.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm tracking you now. I thought you were talking about publications or something. I'm like, now I'm totally lost.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Well, you might think to yourself, surely this week, there's no way you guys found any interesting Apple news to talk about. And I say, aha, we'll go over the Apple news and I'll let you be the judge by the end of the show. You can let me know if we succeeded or not. I'm on the fence. I'm not totally sure, but we did find some stuff to talk about. A new Mojave update has come out and it is hinting at new AMD GPUs for the Mac, which is good news because the GPUs that are currently used in the Macs are ancient. They're like the ones that Steve Wozniak was soldering onto the original Mac when he was making it in Steve's garage. And it's time for an update. And I want to know, where are the iMacs? Where are the iMacs? Maybe we can talk about that when we'll see those and what the updates will be. And I'll give you guys an update on my search for a Mac plan. I'm Macless right now. In fact, we're recording like an hour late because I'm recording this podcast from my PC. And everything broke and completely fell apart right before we started recording. And I kid you not, I could not get my microphone connected to my PC. I had to load drivers to get the whole damn thing working. What a disaster this is. I got to figure out what I'm going to do. And we're going to wrap up the show with our favorite gadgets of 2018. But before we do that, let me say thank you to Ops Genie for supporting this episode. Incidents happen, and they require complex coordination between operations and software development teams who are putting out fires every day. That's why getting alerts immediately is critical. Thankfully, there's Ops Genie by Atlassian. Ops Genie empowers devs and ops teams to plan for service disruptions and stay in control during incidents. It also gives teams the power to respond quickly and efficiently to unplanned issues, and helps to notify all the right people through a smart combination of scheduling and escalation paths that account for things like time zones and holidays. Better yet, Ops Genie allows for deep flexibility in how, when, and where alerts are deployed with over 200 integrations like Jira, Amazon CloudWatch, Datadog, New Relic, and more. Plus, it tracks all activity and provides useful insights to improve future incident responses. With Ops Genie, your next incident doesn't stand a chance. Visit OpsGenie.com to get a free company account and add up to 5 team members. That's OpsGenie.com. opsgenie.com, opsgenie.com. Never miss a critical alert again with OpsGenie. First things first, what the hell? You guys are both like going on some extended vacation in the next 2 weeks, aren't you? Leander, yeah. The jig's up. Lewis just told me about these extended vacations you guys are going on.
I'm going to be working around the clock, though, while I'm away.
Oh, right. I think last time you, quote-unquote, worked around the clock, we didn't hear from you for 3 weeks. You were jaunting through Europe. Where are you going now?
Spain. Southern
You're going
Spain.
To Spain. Okay.
I'm going to visit my daughter. She's teaching English there.
Are you kidding? And no. And what part are you going to?
Well, she's living in Jaén, which is sort of halfway between Granada and Seville.
Oh, I've been
so
there.
I think we're going to be staying there as a base, but we're going to like rent a car and then try and take day trips all around southern Spain.
Sure. And how long are you going to be gone for?
Just over 2 weeks.
2 weeks? And Lewis, you said you're going to be going to Italy as well, right? You and your wife are going to be going in one of those little boats. What do they call those things down the river?
Yeah, no boats. She left yesterday, actually. She's in Spain right now. I'm going to meet up with her in Catania, Sicily.
So we'll see if I end up doing a show by myself. Might be the first time ever. Because you guys are going to have
fun.
Huh?
That'll be kind of fun.
Yeah, it's going to be
so
a blast.
What do you
for
think
the
of
listeners,
the new,
just listening to me,
just get some guests
by myself,
there.
Laughing at my own jokes, which actually I do tend to do that. So it still might be somewhat entertaining.
Load up a laugh track.
Yeah, there you go. I need to get some recordings of you guys laughing, and then I'll just insert those in throughout the show.
Yeah,
and it might be one of my best shows yet. We'll see how that goes.
I'm a bit of dial in, you know, from a cafe somewhere, and then.
Maybe. Your internet's going to be worse than Buster's. He's trying to broadcast going down the freeway at 60 miles per hour.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, you guys are going to have wonderful European holidays. I'll be stuck here by myself doing a podcast.
Wasn't it the darkest day in Seattle's history a couple of days ago?
Was it? Is that something you read?
I saw something on Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's been so dark and terrible here. I mean, for those of you that don't live in areas where it rains a lot or don't have daylight savings time, which, first of all, what is the point of daylight savings time? There's no point anymore. So it gets dark now around 4 p.m. And then by 4:30, it's like pitch black outside. It's probably similar in San Francisco, I'm guessing, yeah?
A bit later, nearly 5.
You're kidding.
Well, because, like you said, they put the clocks back, so.
I know, and then it makes
I guess we're out of daylight savings time now, though, right? We're back to normal?
This is normal time. I can never tell when we're in and when we're out. I just know that it moves back and forth. But, yeah, I think the darkest day of the year is technically the winter equinox, isn't it, on December 20th? And then I think the days start getting longer after that.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Well, people love hearing us talk about meteorology and rain and that type of thing, but. Let's dive into the Apple topics. I at least wanted to mention, I finally got my 11-inch iPad Pro with the Apple Pencil. I spent $130 on the Apple Pencil.
It's worth it, though.
Is it? I'm not sure I agree, but I'll tell you what. It sure is a lot of fun owning it. I've had a great time using it.
Yeah. Let's talk about it later.
Later when?
For reasons I won't divulge, but.
Are you doing something special? You don't want to talk about the Apple Pencil right now?
Okay.
Are you making yourself a nude sketch in the mirror or something?
No.
He's waiting for it to be ready.
Anyway, sorry, go on. I don't mean to derail the fun.
Yeah. Were you talking to me or were you talking to someone else? Now I'm truly confused.
You.
Okay. All right. So you're trying to keep your Apple Pencil topic discussion to yourself for now. All right?
He's a hoarder.
No. Okay. All right. So I don't want to talk too long about this, but I just thought I'd say, that iPad Pro, that 11-inch, first of all, I'm really happy I didn't get the 11-point or the 12.9-inch. It's way too big. I held that at Apple. It's heavy. Holding that in bed, what a disaster that is. Even the 11-inch, I feel like, is heavier than my previous iPad Air 2. But it's the vision of what Steve Jobs wanted to create at Apple, in my opinion. He wanted technology to get out of your way and to become something that you could create on without you feeling like you're using a piece of technology. And I think the iPad is the closest to that vision, this version of the iPad that we have ever gotten. You just are holding the creativity and the internet in your hand. You can do digital artwork. You can use the Apple Pencil to sketch and take notes. And you just feel like you're interacting seamlessly with this piece of technology. I've never really experienced anything like it. And it's so fast and buttery smooth when you're scrolling, and all the animations are so quick. And I also am more confident than ever. There is not a chance in hell this iPad is going to be replacing my notebook. Not a chance. This is not a laptop replacement, in my opinion. Fancy, at least not for me.
Fancy Kindle, then, in other words?
Basically, yeah. It basically is. I mean, I kind of knew what I was getting myself into. But I, the first thing I tried to do was edit a podcast on the iPad. And within 10 minutes, I was like, this isn't going to work. There's no file system. I can't access all of my files I drop into the podcast. And I could put everything into iCloud and interact with the files there. But you're just immediately you're forced to have to pursue all these different hacks and workarounds just to make things work. And that's just logic. I mean, or the iPad podcast app I was using. If you're using something to edit video, I think the process is even worse.
I've been reading, a bunch of other people, though, like Boris, the guy that runs the Next Web. He just had a long thread on Twitter today or yesterday about how he's been using, his iPad Pro as a laptop replacement, and is totally loving it. Thinks that there's a whole bunch of improvements. The most important being, just sort of focus, because you can only have, two apps side by side, split screen. Mm-hmm. Allows him to concentrate. But then again, he's not doing, from what I could tell, he said that he spends most of his time in Slack and email and the calendar, So he had a few quibbles, but Charlie did a post today, which I didn't read, but he was, about how he records podcasts in on his iPad.
Yeah.
I don't know if he got into editing.
I'm not saying it's not possible. It certainly is. And I think for some people, an iPad probably is the perfect computer. I wish it was the perfect computer for me because it's so lightweight. But if you are any sort of power user, I just don't think that it's going to do it for you. And I love the fact that guy said that he loves the iPad's ability to have him focus on one app at a time. I'm like, that's spin if I've ever heard it. I mean, it's not that the iPad can't multitask well. It's that it makes you focus. It's like, there you go. Way to turn the negative into a positive, right? For me, I want to be able to see multiple windows side by side. I don't mean to beat a dead horse here. We've already talked about all this stuff. But as I started using the iPad, I was just coming up with my initial impressions, and I was hoping that I was wrong. But at least for my workflows, it's not a professional machine. It's not something that I could use to replace my notebook. My state-of-the-art 2011 MacBook Air that I'm currently using to edit the podcast while I figure out what my next Mac move is going to be. But as an iPad, it's the best iPad. Wait for ever. It. Ever yeah. made. And it's beautiful too, isn't it? Absolutely it's the most gorgeous, beautiful piece of technology I think I've ever purchased. Hands down. Yeah. Let that soak in.
Wish I had one.
Now let's move on. You should get one. You should convince Colta Mac Corporation that you need one.
Yeah. Okay. I'll get started on that. I'll start the whisper campaign.
I'm listening to this.
Think how much more efficient you could be with an iPad. You could write stories 10 to 15% slower. You'll really be a creative dynamo.
I get so tired of this. Is it a iPad or a Mac replacement conversations? It's, they're just different tools. If you're a carpenter, you don't just have a hammer. You have a hammer and you have a saw and you use them for two different things. I mean, I use a Mac for one thing and a iPad for another thing. I mean, they're just different. I guess the thing is people, Apple was trying to sell it as a MacBook replacement, but I think it's kind of a goofy analogy. I think it's much more about, what are you using it for? And if you, for one thing, there's probably things that you could do if you used it without your old mindset of your old workflow, right? I mean, you could probably figure out ways to do certain things with certain apps and with certain workflows that might be just as good. It's just there's always going to be a learning curve if you're switching completely, right?
Yeah, and I agree there is some startup cost, but even as I was trying to figure out those new processes, at least for editing a podcast, that was my primary thing. Can I edit podcasts on this? And I was going through, and first, the apps to do what Logic does with podcasts just doesn't exist. They don't exist. And the ones that are out there are not nearly as powerful as Logic. So like, you can find some that look like they might work, and then you'll start to use them and you're like, oh yeah, this isn't as powerful as I need it to be. It doesn't do everything that I need it to do. And then just the file system stuff is really what slows the whole process down. I have files living on multiple locations on my Mac, and I'm dragging and dropping those things into the podcast as I'm making them. And then with the iPad, because there's no file system, you have to upload those files into some shared location like iCloud or Dropbox or something. And then you have to go to the app, and then you have to import those from those locations. It's just slower. There's just more steps involved than opening up a folder and just dropping them into Logic. And it's stuff like that that I continually run into that makes me think, okay, at least for video editing, for podcast editing, these machines are not what I would want to use. They're not optimal. But again, if you're doing something where you're just using a browser, or you're using one specific app, or you just really want to focus in Slack, it's the ultimate Slack machine. You can just stay in Slack all day long. But it's $1,000. So,
right.
You know, that's a thing. You're saying, well, a tool for every job. I totally agree with you, but it's $1,000. It's the same price as a MacBook Air, practically. So a lot of people don't have the money to buy both. They want to get one or the other. So for me, I kind of look at it from that perspective. Plus, Apple's pushing this as a professional notebook replacement, which is just, I think it's preposterous. I think it's totally absurd. And again, I know there are people out there that do make it work, but I think for the vast majority of people, it's not going to be, well, for the vast majority of professionals, it probably is not going to work. If you're like a college student, maybe you could make it work, but I don't want to beat a dead horse again. Let's move on. You're right. Let's not drone on about this way too long, because people are going to get bored. Let's just move on.
Too late now. Yeah. Too late now.
You hung out that carrot and I bit.
Anyway, you've thrown down the gauntlet. Next year, I'm going to start a whole series about, you know, like professional workflows.
No, you're not. You're going to say that you're going to do it, and then 2 weeks later, you're going to be curious. Like, this doesn't work. You're going to
start
give up.
The series.
I'm probably, well, I, oh, when I say touché. I'm going to start, so I'm going to find someone to do it. You know, like
the series
edit.
Will be started.
I shall
and probably
edit.
Ended.
I'll assign it to someone.
Good call. Make Buster do it.
Buster, right? Exactly. Yeah. I was just thinking. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Mojave updates. Well, the Mojave update that hinted at the new AMD Vega GPUs. So, gosh, this is one of the things that I really don't like about Apple, is that they tend to use components for a really long time and not update them as often as we would like them to. Well, that goes dually for the new Vega chips. They only have the Vega 64 and Vega 60 or Vega 56 GPUs in the new iMac Pro. So the only way to get a modern, or I should say a current GPU in a Mac, is to buy the iMac Pro, which is starting at $5,000, you know. I wish there was a way to bring these to all the Macs. It seems like Apple may be in the process of doing that without making you use an eGPU. So this Mojave update suggests that we're going to see new AMD Vega GPUs coming to the Mac. We don't know which Macs, and we don't actually know which GPUs yet. But there have been some hints in the new version of Mojave that say that there are new chips on the way. I hope they're going to add these new Vega GPUs to the iMac, just the regular iMac 5K. Apple hasn't updated the iMac 5K since June of 2017. And this is another one of those things that just really bugs me. It's like they're charging full price for this machine. This is their desktop, you know, their desktop computer. And the components are over a year old at this point. And the AMD chip that is in the iMac is probably even older than that. It's the RX 580. The 590 has just come out. Plus, you have the Vega 56 and the Vega 60. I'm kind of hoping that Apple includes the new GPUs when they update the iMac, whenever that is. But I kind of wonder if Apple is withholding an iMac update because they don't want the iMac to be more powerful than the iMac Pro. the base iMac Pro. The base iMac Pro, at least for video editing, is actually not much better than the 5K iMac. And in some regards, it's actually worse, a lot worse. If you're working with H.264 video, the iMac Pro is much slower than the 5K iMac. The only areas where it's faster is with H.265 video, which most people still aren't working with. And so if Apple were to add these new GPUs to the 5K iMac, you would have a machine that is in many aspects way faster than the iMac Pro, which makes me think maybe Apple is holding back the updates until they update the iMac Pro as well. That's just a little conspiracy theory. Ooh, we shouldn't talk about conspiracy theories. We might get banned.
Oh, my.
So I've heard some rumors that we're going to have, HDR screens added to the iMacs. Have you guys heard anything about this? Lewis, have you heard anything about this? Any rumblings?
I have not heard this. I haven't heard much thing. About iMac in a long time, actually.
Right?
You know? It's like, what?
What the hell is going on with the iMacs? Because really, that's the computer that I want. I was thinking about getting a new MacBook Pro, but I don't need something that's portable, and I want something that's really powerful, and I want the most powerful GPU I can get. So I was thinking, really what I need is a new iMac with an AMD 64 GPU installed. But we've heard almost nothing about iMacs, and it's been a year and a half now since Apple has updated the iMac line. A year and a half. So I'm hoping that we'll get new GPUs and an HDR screen, because there was a rumor floating out there that the screens are going to be markedly improved. But that will probably be early 2019 before we actually see any updates. So here is my other thinking. I'm thinking now about getting an actual, well, a budget machine, the Mac Mini. Getting a Mac Mini and then bolting on an eGPU and taking that for a spin, because Apple keeps pushing the eGPUs. And I thought, well, you know, why not try it and see how it works? The Mac Mini is, you can get one with pretty specced out for like $1,500, which is cheap for a Mac, right? And then you have to get the eGPU, which is kind of expensive. But if you can get both those two things together.
How much are the eGPUs?
Well, you can get the one from Blackmagic for $1,100. Or you can build your own, which is probably the way that I'll go, because then it's upgradable. So the actual housing itself is about $400. And then you have to spend another you can spend whatever you want. You can spend $200 for a GPU, or you can spend $600. You can get the brand new Vega 64 GPU from AMD, and that thing is a screamer. It's actually really fast. So I'm thinking about doing that next. But you add those two things together, and now you're looking at like a $3,000
plus. You
gotta
get a screen.
Well, I already have a screen, so I've got that covered. And I also have a mouse. I've got a nice keyboard that I can use. But yeah, that's a good point. So if you're going to buy all those components separately, you might as well just get an iMac at that point, because you're basically spending the same money, or even an iMac Pro. So that's my new plan. And I was going to mention, I've had several people reach out to me on Twitter and say, you know what you need to do is you need to find an Apple employee and see if they will extend you their 25% discount or their 15% discount, depending on which one they've used. So I guess Apple employees get a 25% off discount on like one class of product each year, like a Mac, a iPhone, an Apple Watch. And then they also can extend you a 15% discount for friends and family. So I'm just putting it out there. If we have any Apple employees listening that want to hook up a Cultcast host.
Desperate character you are.
Is it desperate? Maybe. Please, I need the discount so bad.
It's thrifty.
Everything's so expensive. If you want to hook us up, I will trade you a shout out.
Wow.
Maybe a cult cloth. I got some cult stickers.
Even better than that, I will have you sent any watch strap from the Cult of Mac watch store. Anyone that you want, 100% free. How's that?
Whoa. That might cost more than the discounts.
In fact, you can get two on Leander. That will work something out. You know, shout outs. You know, maybe.
We can hang out at the cult club.
The cult,
your cult cave.
The very exclusive cult club. Yeah, I can let you into the no access room, the place that only I hang out in, and we could have a drink together and talk about creepy, whatever topic that you choose. Yeah. And wear our robes and clink our glasses together. That's a great suggestion. Thank you. So we'll work something out. But if you have an Apple discount that you want to send my way, hit me up on Twitter. My DMs are open. I'd love to hear from you. I was going to mention one more thing before we move on to our favorite gadgets of 2018. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but they're practically giving away HomePods this year. Have you guys seen the discounts on these things?
Yeah, it's crazy. $250.
They're selling them for $250 pretty regularly, actually.
Everywhere, yeah. Yeah. Target, B&H. Yeah, and we had a story the other day. Apple sent out some kind of discount thing, like, oh, if you're an Apple Music subscriber, you can get a 50-pound discount, right? It's like, oh, wow. So it's only $50 more than you can get it from Target or B&H right now.
Yeah, they're having all sorts of screaming deals. And the other thing I wanted to point out was the iMac Pros have been – they're basically liquidating these on eBay. Do you remember how we talked about on the last show how Apple will partner with some retailer to offer really great prices? So there's this one retailer on eBay who is selling iMac Pros for $3,800, which is $1,200 less than the asking price. And they call them refurbished machines, but they come with the same warranty, the same everything as a brand new machine. And it got me thinking, this guy's selling so many. He's probably sold 50 so far. I think Apple is just selling these machines as refurbished, even though they're brand new, because people just aren't buying
them. That's an interesting... that's a story.
You think so? Yeah. Is that a big scoop? Yeah. Because when you go on to the refurbished store on Apple.com, the things that they sell that are refurbished are one of a kind, right? They refurbish them and they sell them, and then that item is gone. But this guy is selling the exact same model over and over and over and over and over, and he still has, I don't even know how many left. And on his page, he says these are shipped directly from the manufacturer and they come with AppleCare. So he's acting as like a third party. You're placing the order with him, and he's having Apple ship you the computer, yeah. And he's already sold 50 of them.
And can you configure it, or is it just one configuration?
No, it's just one configuration. It's the base model iMac Pro. So I think this guy is just, he's worked out a deal with Apple. They're trying to liquidate these things for whatever reason.
Because they don't do
they're
sales,
not selling
they?
For $5,000. Yeah. And, you know, at $3,800, they're much more palatable.
What is the, where do you find this?
I can send you a link. I don't know the guy's seller ID.
It's Tim Cook, 23.
New Max.
That's
y'all.
Why he's getting up at 3 in the morning.
Exactly. He's running his eBay account. He's like, we've got to sell this iMac Pros, y'all. Anything that they can do to get the stock price back up, dear Lord. Oh, my gosh. I think last time I looked, it hurt my feelings so bad, I decided I wasn't going to look at it for the rest of the year. I think it's at like 165. I think I bought it 222. And then like the next day it plummeted through the floor, and it's been falling ever since. Oh my gosh.
That's ugly.
There goes my retirement.
Yeah, I know, it's funny. Their $1 trillion market cap, you know, didn't last like what, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, now they're worth less than Amazon, and they're worth less than Microsoft.
It's funny.
That's
Microsoft
gotta sting.
Is so strange how that, you know, they came up, and then now they have more, you know, lasting. That, you know, theirs is a little bit more robust. But I guess Microsoft's been doing great, really.
They're kind of making a comeback too. Yeah. They are making a ton of money off their cloud services, and I think a lot of that money is actually coming from Apple. When I heard the new CEO announced their strategy around cloud stuff, I was not sure it was going to work, but the dude was right. They're making money hand over fist. I mean, they're worth more than Apple is now, and a lot of it is enterprise related. So they're making money, you know, from all these cloud applications and from their Azure services and what have you. So seems to be working for them. Anyway, if you're in the market for a new HomePod, now's the time to buy. Also, if you want to check out these iMac Pros, if you're looking for one, the guy still has a ton left. And like I said, they come with the full Apple warranty. So I think that this is just Apple liquidating these quietly. I'll include a link in the show notes if you guys want to check these out and, you know, pick yourself up one. And eBay does these sales, especially this time of the year, where they'll discount stuff like $100. So you can get an iMac Pro, a base model iMac Pro with a warranty for $3,700, $1,300 off the base price, which is one heck of a deal.
Is it a heck of a deal, though? Like $5,000 for a computer, it seems like a lot of money.
Well, I don't know if it's overpriced because you're getting really high-end components. But here's my beef with the iMac Pro. They're giving you components that you don't need. You are being forced to buy Xeon processors. You're being forced to buy error-correcting memory. And the base model is so close in skill set to the higher-end iMac that you can buy for like $3,500. It's not really worth the extra $1,500, in my opinion, because it's still only 8 cores, and the single-core performance is actually worse than the high-end iMac. So you're not really getting a big benefit to spend $5,000 on a base iMac Pro, which is why maybe Apple is liquidating these. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're going to get the 10-core or the 18-core, I think those are seriously, ridiculously overpriced. But if you're like a production company, you need the horsepower, and you're making money off these, then okay, that makes sense. A 10-core and 18-core is going to blow away something with 8 cores or 6 cores or you know, something in that range. But otherwise, just get yourself an iMac. A high-end iMac is going to do everything that you need. Put an SSD in it, and for $3,500, you have a machine that I would say in 80% of the video tests that I saw is better than an iMac Pro.
Right, but then
so there's literally no reason.
But if that's $3,500, and I just found it here on eBay, and it's not 38, it's 39, because it's
they must have raised it. They were $3,800.
Okay, and like you said, he sold 49 of these things. It arrives before Christmas, but
That's a heck of a deal. That's a heck of a deal for a machine that costs $5,000.
It's all.
Anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes if you guys are interested in it. Let's move on to our favorite gadgets of 2018. This is a tough one because I'm thinking back over all the gadgets that we've talked about over the last year, and there's been so many great ones. But there are a couple that stood out in my mind as things that I love and I use virtually every day. And things that I don't feel like I could live without in 2019. Lewis, are you going to pitch that weird cat litter machine that looks like an orb?
That's
it works for my
years.
Cat, and guess what? It also works for humans.
Oh, yeah?
That one's
we should get one for the office.
That is a great product. The litter robot is a fantastic product. But
it lived up to your expectations, huh?
It did not come out this year.
I know, so. But I thought maybe you were just using it so much, you know. Fell in love with it. I'm going to pitch a product that didn't come out this year.
I thought it was all about this year.
Well, I could
the best
pitch
products of the
products.
Year from 2 years ago. Is that what
our
you're saying? Is that how you're trying to set this up?
I really love my 2004 Subaru Legacy. No. There's one that when I pitch it, let me just pitch it. Then you'll understand why I'm pitching it. It's my Nintendo Switch. Lewis. And I think that this is okay to pitch in 2018 because a lot of the games that have came out in 2018. So it's like constantly getting refreshed. And out of all the gadgets that I use, there probably has not been one that has brought me more joy, more pure joy than my Nintendo Switch in 2018. Nintendo is experiencing a modern day renaissance. They are making some of the best games they've ever made. They're making some of the best hardware and experiences they've ever made. The Switch, after two consoles that people just really didn't quite get or connect with, finally came out with one that resonates with video game players everywhere. I use the Switch every single day. And I was just looking at my video game collection the other day for the Switch. And it's all Mario games. Like, every Mario game Nintendo has released, I have purchased. I think I have 6 right now because they're all so uniquely original and fresh and fun and full of wonder and magic. I just love my Nintendo Switch and the games that I've been playing in 2018 on it. And I'm actually going to pitch some of these games in a upcoming What We're Into of 2018. Some of them I've talked about previously on the show. Some of them I have not. So that's my first pick, my Nintendo Switch, which I absolutely love. Lewis, you want to go next?
Sure.
What do you got?
I think my favorite thing of the year is the, you know, I can believe this, Apple Watch Series 4.
Oh, really? Your Apple Watch Series 4.
I love it.
Boy, would I love an Apple Watch Series 4.
Is it still on order?
I would just really... I would probably be pitching that as well if
are
I could actually
serious?
Get
you
one.
Are still waiting?
I am still...
This
actually, you know
so
what I just
sad.
Did? I finally, to the listener who was hooking me up with this corporate discount, I finally just said, dude, just cancel it. Just cancel it. This is not worth the wait. It's not worth the discount anymore. And I looked at Apple's website last night, and they said if you order one, they'll ship it to you within the week. Within the week! And this place I had ordered from through this listener, they were saying it was going to be another 2 to 4 weeks before I got my Apple Watch. And I swear,
oh my
every time
God.
You talk to them, they say it's going to be 2 to 4 weeks, no matter when you ask. So finally, I was like, just cancel it. I'm just going to go to the Apple Store. I'm just going to bite it. I'm going to buy one. So maybe it'll be one of my favorite gadgets of 2018, too, if I get it,
right.
if I get it this week.
Up.
Sorry, but continue.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I mean, I've always loved the Apple Watch, but, this is the year that it's like the hardware finally caught up with the vision, right? I mean, it's not a huge redesign, but it's faster. It's way faster, which means no lag. Everything works the way it's supposed to. And the screen is, if all you've ever done is like heard about it, it's a 44 inch screen instead of, 44 millimeter screen instead
of
42.
I was like, oh, you must have got the big one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, 2 millimeters. What difference is that? It just looks gigantic compared to the Series 3. I mean, the screen, not the watch itself. The screen. It's brighter. It's just in every way. It's just better. New features like fall detection and the ECG that they just got out in the last week or so. I mean, that stuff's nice. I think the fall detection is probably great. I mean, and luckily I've never had an opportunity to test that. But, the bottom line is those things are like, insurance policies, right? If you want to test your heart rate and see – or not your heart rate, but, your test your electrocardiogram. Get an electrocardiogram. Good grief. I need, a speech app.
Maybe I should test it
right now, see if I'm having a stroke. Those things are great, but in everyday use – it's just awesome. I mean, to me,
just as a watch, you mean?
It's finally like legit. I mean, before it's like, I don't know. It's I liked it and it was great. But here, let me show you this feature. I'll press the button and wait. There's no waiting. It's fine. It's like the year that it became real, right? So I told another friend of mine, who had the original watch, and I think he had the Series 3, and he's like, oh, yeah, I don't need it. He had the same attitude as me, and I'm like, hey, man, let's just compare the two, And, next time I saw him, he had one. Because it's just, if you go and look at them, you compare the 3 to the 4, you're just going to say, man, I got to get the 4.
Yeah, it's almost like a completely different device, because the 4 screen is so much larger.
Yeah, honestly, the lack of any kind of lag is the thing that is so astonishing and refreshing. It's just better in every way. It's like anything else. You get a faster processor and everything works better. And this thing it's just great. I wear it every day, and the battery life is like better too. I mean, I could wear this thing 2 days, and toward the end of the second day, it'll be like dodgy. Is it about to run out? But I could barely get through a day or so. I did have a problem getting a day with Series 3, but 2 days is out of the question. So in all ways better. So that's my favorite one of the year.
Press the button and wait. That pretty much describes my experience with the Apple Watch on the Series 0. It's more like press the button and wait. And wait.
Yeah.
And wait for it. Here it comes.
Right.
And there it goes.
It's like any other piece of tech, right? They just keep adding new features and, new this and new that. And the older thing gets more and more difficult to use. And, I mean, it was never great shakes, but you could see the potential of it. Now that potential has been achieved and realized. So
there you go. I just can't wait to get one. Very much looking forward to it.
I can't believe you still are waiting to get one. I mean, I could just sometimes walk down the street and get one right now.
I probably could. I probably could go to the Apple store right now.
What time's the Apple store close, man? Just
I think 9 p.m. Yeah.
Come on.
Maybe I'll just go down there and pick one up. I'm going to get the smaller one, too, because the screen is so large that the 44 millimeter just looks ridiculous on my wrist.
Oh, I love
it. I have a very muscular wrist. I mean, this thing is solid. But I put that thing on, and finally I decided I always buy Apple's most expensive whatever. Whatever they sell, I get the most expensive one because that's just what I'm drawn to. But finally, I convinced myself, no, the large one looks ridiculous. Go for the 40 millimeter, and it looks much better on my wrist because the screen is so large. It's probably the same size as it is on my Series 0. So that's the one I'm going to go for when I, you know, finally get one. Okay, Leander. Favorite gadget of the entire year.
Lewis, drop it on me. Just, you know, talked about it. I was going to say the same thing.
Oh, no.
The Series 4. I find it utterly miraculous that you have this little computer on your wrist and the things that it can do.
So what specifically has been dazzling?
Well, we were just playing with the EKG feature. You know, everyone, of course, it's all completely messed up, right? Because everyone has been testing it out with my watch. And so. It looks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right.
So you know, your heart rate
went from, you know, this to this, from 50 to 89 a minute. But we've been playing around with it. You know, that's just one of the many different things. I mean, I'm using it all the time for fitness and activity tracking, and you know, paying for stuff, walkie talkie, taking phone calls. I mean, like, I take phone calls fairly regularly on the watch. Just because I'm sort of too lazy to dig my phone, you know, to pick my phone up off the desk.
Interesting. It actually works pretty well, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm in certain environments, you know, like here in the office, yeah, totally fine. In the car, totally fine. You know, I just, it's utility, that all the different things it can do. I mean, it really is, you know, like we're debating about is the iPad a laptop replacement? And you know, you say no, and the watch is getting so close to, you know, for a lot of different things to mirroring the functionality of the phone, that I find it completely mind-boggling. Really, you know, that this, it's so miraculous that you can have a device so capable strapped to your wrist, and of course it makes me really excited about what's going to come up in the future. You know, I think this thing is going to become really a fantastic device. You know, I was reading some rumors about the next version and what it might do. And all kinds of, you know, there's some silly stuff like there's talk about a it'll take your blood pressure. It'll have a contracting band.
Wow.
So you know how they, you know, when you get your heart pressure done at the doctors, they have a sleeve that stops the blood flow.
Yeah.
And then it slowly deflates until it can detect it again. So, you know, Apple has a patent for this built into the strap of a wristwatch. I think that's a little bit unlikely, but. You know, glucose monitoring they've been working on for a long time, which I think would be totally crazy. A real game changer for a lot of people, not just diabetics. But, you know, it's just such a wonderful little device. I mean, I haven't even read the news on it. I'm getting alerts. You know, I get an alert from the security camera from my car. All kinds of stuff. You know, it's just like a constant delight. It like puts a real smile on my face to look at it. I've been playing around with all the different complications and the different faces you can have on it. I've got a really complicated one now. It's got about 10 different things, but you know, I actually look at them. I actually find them useful, and I find them, like, you know, useful little shortcuts to get into the apps I use. I've been playing. The one thing I really want is a new music app. Like, the music app on the watch isn't doing it for me.
Are you using just the built-in one?
I'm using the built-in one, yeah. So I was going to search today for a better one. I want one that does scrubbing, that will scrub through tracks.
Oh, I don't know. I wonder if any of them do that. I've never run across a music app that actually does that.
I've got it. Well, I was going to research it. So as soon as we get off this boring podcast, I'm going to go look.
Well, we'll try to hurry up then. Sorry.
Right.
Okay, so the Apple Watch, gosh, now you guys are really making me want one. If only there was some place I could go to get my hands on the Apple Watch.
Oh, my God, yeah. How about the Apple Store? Best Buy?
That informational Target. Watch face that you were just talking about, that's the one that I would probably use, too. I was playing around with it. What's
that? It's called the Infograph Module, the one I like now.
So that's the one that has just complications everywhere, right?
Well, the one that you see in all the ads, the one that everyone talks about, is the Infograph, and it's like an analog one.
Okay.
And I can't stand analog faces because I always got to think what the time is. So I like it digital. So this Infograph modulo is a digital one. And it's got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different complications. I don't know if telling the time is considered a complication, is it?
I'm not sure. I don't believe so.
Yeah.
Okay, so 6 then.
That's just the watch part. Okay, the Apple Watch. I'm going to have one before the year's end. Mark my words. Before the year's end, I'm going to have my Apple Watch.
Plus, you know, like this thing is, it takes a bashing, right? You know, like I banged it the other day. Yeah. I was sure I broke it. I was like, oh my God, not a scratch. Not a scratch. It's completely and utterly seamless. And it's like a sport, you know, it's a black sport one, aluminum sport. Mm-hmm. It's a cheap one. And I got a really nice band. Guess where I got the band from? Yeah, you got it. Cotterbank Watch Store.
Oh.
It's a right. Juke band. Juke make beautiful bands. And of course, they had a bit of a problem with their bands fitting the Series 4.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though, you know, Apple said that all the bands will fit, all bands for previous watches will fit, you know, the Series 4, Juke is making them so precisely that they are too tight. But I actually found one of their bands. I think it's a Revo band that actually fit. So, and it's a really beautiful looking band.
What are the bands called? The ones that expand out again? I always forget the name of them.
Oh, the Twisterflex.
Yeah, those are the ones that have been around for like 60 years, right?
Right. Yeah, they're nice bands. Yeah, they're really nice bands.
And they're real vintage too. I like the look of those. Also available at store.cultomac.com.
Right.
I'm going to throw that in there. I see it now. It's all come together. Now I know why Leander was pitching the watch. The whole thing was one giant setup for the end read where he's like, guess where you can get the perfect band for your new Apple Watch Series 4? I figured it all out.
You twigged it. You twigged it.
Don't you actually find it like, I mean, this is not like pimping the watch store. I actually enjoy wearing different watch bands. I'm not even a fashion guy. Anybody who ever sees me knows that. But I enjoy swapping out the bands. It's fun.
Yeah, right. It feels like a new watch, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's really, when they were talking about this, when they were launching the watch, I was just like, oh, come on, really? You know, I was just kind of, yeah, that's really going to be a big deal. It's kind of addictive.
Yeah, and you got to make sure it matches your current accessories and your shoes and all that, Lewis, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that goes without saying.
You got to make sure it matches your MERS and your fanny pack.
For my big European vacation.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, my next pick is one of my favorite, it's one of my favorite gadgets of 2018. It's the CalDigit TS3 Plus Thunderbolt 3 dock. This thing is a little tiny dynamo, and it replaces all the beloved ports that Apple pulled off of the MacBook Pro line. It has an SD card slot. It has a headphone jack slot. It has an optical in-out port. It has a USB-C slot on the front. It has USB-A ports all over it. But as I mentioned when I pitched this product earlier, it's just got the best components inside. I do think this is probably the best dock that's on the market. And it's small, it's compact. It has full speed USB ports on it. It has a UHS-II SD card slot on the front, which is a brand new technology. Most cards, SD cards that are out there are not even using SD or UHS-II yet. And they already built in support for that into the dock. So I like it because it's small and it's portable. I like it because it adds all these great ports back to your Mac. But I also like it because they spared no expense constructing it. They have every modern technology built into this dock. So it's a very forward-thinking dock. Plus, they make them in space gray and silver so that you can get one that matches your MacBook Pro. And it also is able to charge your MacBook Pro at full speed while you use it, which a lot of other docks in the market can't do that. So you can use your charger that came with your MacBook Pro as a travel charger. It frees up your charger to use in other capacities because you'll have the TS3 Plus sitting on your desk. It's just a great device. And I had never heard of CalDigit before I talked to them about reviewing this dock. And I'm really impressed with this product. Highly recommend it. It is, you know, not cheap, but no good things are. It's $300 and 300.
What?
Yeah, it's $300, so it's not cheap. But you know what? If you're spending $3,600 on a MacBook Pro, what's another $300 to right. get all the ports yeah, back that you want? And then you don't have to live that ridiculous dongle life. I don't have to ever plug a dongle into my MacBook Pro because they're all the ports I need are right here on the dock. And then you just have one cable. You plug that into your MacBook Pro, and poof, you get access to all this wonderful I/O via the TS3 Plus. It's a great device.
I hate to denigrate a good dock, because who doesn't like a good dock? But that is really the device of the gadget of the year.
I use it all the time. Well, not these days, but I was using it all the time with my MacBook Pro. I mean, multiple times a day. And that's what I was thinking when I was trying to come up with my list of best gadgets of the year, are things that I use constantly and have added value to my life. And this is certainly one of those things because it works so well. And I like to tell people about devices that are made well and built with, I want to say passion. I don't know if that's the right word, but I like to pitch devices that were clearly well thought through and where the people who created the device spent a lot of time polishing it and making it and considering how it should be made. It's kind of probably how Johnny Ive thinks, you could say. So, you know, Johnny Ive and I think in similar ways, you could say.
Right.
And
that was
that's
obvious.
What this,
yeah,
this dock is. It's just the best of the best. There's just nothing else out there that's like it, especially in regards to the quality of the components inside of it. It's an impressive device. Why are you making fun of my pick, Leander?
Because a dock, it's so boring. It's like a, you know, an iPod sock or something. It's like, you know, could you... It's so utilitarian. It's not
it
a
is.
Sexy
it's
gadget.
Very
it's
practical.
Like, you know, Christmas morning, you know, if you open the, if you rip and open the wrappings on a box, and, you know, what would you rather see? Like an Apple Watch Series 4 or a dock?
Okay, well, look, I don't have an Apple Watch Series 4. I probably will never have one. And you know what? If I opened this on Christmas morning, I'd be like a kid getting his first Nintendo. I'd be screaming. I'd be jumping up and down in my pajamas. I'd be very happy. Because this is highly highly practical. It's like getting a great pair of underwear on Christmas morning.
Yeah, right.
Maybe
exactly.
That's a bad example.
That's what I got to look forward to. Yeah, some socks.
Yeah.
Some
but,
slippers.
You know, if you have a MacBook Pro, you have to have a way to connect stuff to it, you know?
Absolutely. I'm not putting it down. I'm just sort of saying it's, you know, it doesn't have that fizz.
It doesn't have that flare factor.
Yeah. That sort of, ooh.
Okay,
you know
really what?
Why don't you pick your new iPad?
Well, I am saving some of my Apple stuff for our best Apple gadgets of 2018 that we're doing. So I don't want to blow
everything.
So we don't
want to double dip.
But I will say this. The Apple Pencil, definitely already one of my favorite pieces of technology.
Well, this is why it's been all kind of weird earlier in the podcast, because like I you know, you said choose
it.
Two gadgets.
Oh, right.
And this is my second choice. And I didn't want to like
blow the Apple
my
Pencil?
Wad, you know. Well, the iPad Pro with the Apple Pencil.
Oh, okay. Well, you can.
Because I had
that.
To mark up my book, you know, do all these markups on the book.
Yeah.
And I did it with the, you know, on the iPad with the pencil, and it was a breeze. It was absolutely fantastic. You know, it was a real joy. Like something that's like a horrible nightmare usually was actually quite pleasant to do.
So it made it easier to do on your iPad than it would have been to do in some other way.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I was like, I was going to do this on the, they told me to do it on the, you know, I was going to do it on the computer, but I'm like, what am I thinking? I got to do it on the iPad.
Yeah, good
thinking. I do it on the iPad, and I breezed right through it on the iPad. It worked fantastic.
So what did you use? Because not everything is compatible with the Apple Pencil.
What's it called? Readles PDF Pro.
And you can use the pencil to mark stuff up?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, you do the little double click on the pencil to you know, so when I made a mistake, double click, get the erase it, double click, you know, do it. I was so delighted with it. I ran around the house. I was like, hey, oh, you know, I was showing my kids. Check this out. Look at this.
I bet they were really impressed.
Well, they were like, come on, you know, they're trying to like, you're ruining my game, Dad.
Move, Dad.
Exactly. And Tracy wasn't even impressed either. But they will one day. They'll realize one day. One day.
How important it is to editing PDFs. One day they'll know.
And the way it clicks on and charges up, the keyboard is also fantastic.
Oh, the keyboard is nice.
Backlight.
So
is
the Apple Folio for the iPad. It's
that's what happened.
Beautiful, as Jim Carrey, your favorite person, would say.
I have the keyboard folio. So you mean like a regular folio?
Well, they have a regular folio for it too.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's absolutely
it's nice stuff.
Beautiful.
Super expensive, but nice. Really nice.
Yeah,
I love the iPad. The iPad is fantastic.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's like a little piece of magic, and you're just holding it. It's beautiful to hold and interact with, and it's so fast and smooth. And the thing that I was impressed with was just how quickly and accurately the pencil is tracked when you're drawing on the screen. I was using this app called Procreate, and I was trying to do some sketching. And I know this app has been around forever, and you could probably do this as well on the older version of the iPad Pro, but this is new to me. You could sketch stuff out and then like smear it with your finger on the iPad, and the pencil is just so smooth now. You draw with it, and it's just like the line just follows it perfectly. You know, there's no lag or anything. It's not nearly as bad. I've tried styluses before on the iPad previously, and they were fine, but they were laggy. And this thing, it's like actually drawing with a pencil.
Yeah, right. It is, yeah. Laggy. I can't see anyone you could use it with a lag. If it has a lag, it's completely unusable, surely.
Especially if you're like an artist and you're using it throughout the day to do actual work with it. Again, I think that this combination particularly is what Steve Jobs had in mind when he was first visualizing what technology was going to look like. It kind of reminds me of, do you remember that Apple commercial, Leander, where there was like that book that person was interacting with at his desk, and it was like the knowledge book or something, and he was asking to do all
knowledge
these things.
Knowledge Navigator,
yeah. Yes, exactly, the Knowledge Navigator. Like, that's what we have now. We have a Knowledge Navigator that we use. Like, that was Steve Jobs' vision.
Well, that was actually John Sculley's vision.
Give me a break. Look.
John Sculley was the one who commissioned that. But
Steve Jobs came up with all the good ideas.
He would have had a heart attack if he saw the pencil. He would have hated it.
You think
initially.
So?
And initially, he would have said he would have said it was the stupidest idea ever. But then he probably would have come around to it, and then he would have claimed it as his own.
He would have said he came up with the idea. Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, I just love how the technology just gets out of your way, especially when you're sketching and drawing on it. It's the technology disappears, and you are just you are no longer limited by the technology. You are just interacting with your creativity at that point and doing whatever your imagination comes up with. And what other gadgets are out there where you can have that type of experience? I haven't run across any.
The MacBook, the iPhone.
Oh, well, I mean, for drawing and artistry and that type of thing, you know.
Well, my artistry is like, I like to doodle, but I haven't really done it for any serious drawing.
Does anyone else have another gadget they want to pitch? I've done, I think, three now. Lewis, you got another one?
I'll just revisit this thing. I mentioned it a long time ago when I first had it. The SimpliSafe home security system.
Oh.
One thing I
talk
really
about
like
practical.
About this.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. It's not exactly a sexy thing, right? But you know what? Here's something you might find a little bit sexy about it. It's already paid for itself.
How so?
Well, after I set that up, you know, I had like a home security system on this, you know, Airbnb that I got. And I was paying $30 a month for a security system. And I was paying over $70 a month for a phone. Well, I got the SimpliSafe. I got rid of the phone. And I pay $25 a month now for
so
this
you
thing.
Phone line going just so you could have your security system going?
Yeah. I mean, why would I have a phone in an Airbnb? And frankly, why do I have a phone in my house now? I mean, I have one here in San Francisco, but it's basically a harassment tool for people I don't know. I mean, I can't remember the last time I got an actual legit phone call on it. But yeah, this is a SimpliSafe thing. I mean, you know, I hear ads for it everywhere. They advertise all kinds of podcasts and things. It actually works great. And, you know, I can change codes remotely. I get a little notification every time somebody opens the door. You know, it works great. And I bring it up again because it looks good. It works well. It was super easy to install, and it's been working now for, I don't know, 8 months or something like that. And and this isn't an Airbnb, right? So there's all kinds of people coming to this house and checking in, and none of them have had a problem. I haven't had one. I think maybe one time I had one phone call from somebody like, oh, no, I think I did it wrong. And, you know,
but, the police are here with their guns drawn. Can you call them off, please?
But I mean, the one thing I can't tell you is what happens when, you know, there's a break in, because it hasn't happened. But so far, so good. And I've been very impressed with it. So I just want to mention
steal
it again. Could be.
Take it with
never
them
know.
Leave. Okay, the Simply Safe home security system. You know, I actually have one of those, and I've had it for like 6 months. I just haven't installed it yet.
You're freaking kidding
me. You probably should, because I have a little, you know, I used Iris Lowe's, which is like a very similar system, isn't it, Lewis? You know, like,
yes.
You know, kind of like it's non-monitored. And also we have the Samsung Smart Things here in the office. And both of those were kind of flaky, the Lowe's one more so than the Samsung one. So it's nice to hear about one that actually sort of works and doesn't flake out.
Oh, and you know, here's another thing. I mean, it works with internet. You know, you can have some kind of camera that you can hook up. I don't have internet at this house. It's out in the boonies. And you know, there's no phone. There's no internet. But this all works. Simply Safe works without a line, just through cellular, right? So you don't need Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi would be nice addition. Yeah, maybe I could upgrade my Airbnb, but I can't get it. Can't get the internet there. So anyway, yeah, I think, I mean, compared to that Iris nightmare we got going in there in the office, you know, like
this is constantly going off.
Yeah, well, it went off yesterday. The Samsung one went off yesterday.
Oh my
like
gosh.
It said we had a break in. I came down here to check it out because there's nothing here. You know, it's like a false alarm.
Oh, that's right. It's not Iris anymore. It's Smart Things. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of, you know, they're similar systems, you know. They both have the sort of easy to install sensor that you put on your doors and windows and all that. But I don't know, man. I've had nothing but good experience with Simply Safe. So.
Okay, Leander, you got anything else for us?
All right, I was going to mention a couple of things.
Rattle
the Sonos One smart speaker with Alexa.
Oh, I knew that was going to come up eventually. Oh, my gosh. I was asking for that. Sonos
it's
One, okay.
Actually pretty fantastic, you know, like adding – well, maybe, you know, to be able to add Alexa to your Sonos system. And you know, because of it all linked up, you can play it all throughout the house. Oh, no, I set it off. That's actually pretty great. It's – it's relatively affordable, $299. The one that people are really freaking out about is the Sonos Beam, which
the
is their new. It's their new under TV, you know, theater speaker, theater speaker. So it's
oh,
thinner.
Oh, the Beam. Gotcha. It's like a sound bar,
right? And that has Alexa built in. So that's I'm really, you know, like if I wasn't already lousy with Sonos speakers, you know,
mm-hmm.
I would. I'd love to get that one. I'd really like to check that one out. That one looks really, really good. But so far, you know, like, you know, I'll settle for the Sonos One, which is the smaller, you know, sort of like satellite speaker. That's a great, great speaker. Really sounds great, and the Alexa stuff works really well. I have it in the bathroom, so I'm in the shower, mm-hmm. and I just yell at it over the, you know, the shower wall, the shower door, to play some music, and it usually works pretty well.
Okay, the Sonos One. What else you got?
I was going to mention this SeaSense Icon 2 lights. These are the smart lights I have on my bike. They're from a company out of Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And the SeaSense is like, you know, they have a bunch of sensors in them, accelerometers and a light. You know, they detect ambient light. And so they'll flash brighter when you slow down, or if you're going through like a tunnel, or you know, under some trees, to save battery life. And they're really good lights. They're really, really great bike light. Really bright, really easy to see. They flash. You don't have to turn them on or off. They last for days. You know, they last a week, basically. If you just ride, you know, if you're riding to and from work. And you can customize it with this really well designed app on your phone, and in fact, you know, here in the States they're not the most interesting stuff is they're doing all this data analysis with users in Europe. I don't think they have set up they haven't enabled it here in the States for sort of like privacy reasons, but also like I don't think they have any partners here
mm-hmm.
that they're using the data with, but like they're using it in Manchester and Dublin, and they're using all this data they collect anonymously from all these users to help the city sort of plan where they should be putting bike paths, and it's so I met up with the CEO and he said it's so sensitive detection that they can actually, and we talked about this before, didn't we? That they can actually detect potholes before they fall.
Yeah,
in the
you were
road,
saying that. That's,
which I found was crazy.
Very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that was my, I mean, that's a gadget I've been using all year and I've really got a lot of pleasure out of.
Okay. And that was the C-Sense bike lights.
Yeah. Icon 2 bike lights.
Okay. I'll pitch one more. The more we do this, the more I'm like, oh my gosh, we could probably do an entire episode of just this because there are so many that are starting to come back to me now. But one other one that I wanted to mention was the Arlo 2 Pro cameras, or I should say the Arlo Pro 2 cameras, which added 1080p to the different cameras. The Arlo cameras, man, there's just nothing else like them. And it's probably because the app is so polished. You can do... Yeah. So yeah. Many things with Arlo cameras, and you can set them up in so many different ways. I love mine. I have them set to activate as soon as I leave my house. They turn on, and then they'll notify you if anyone is on your property or if they detect someone walking by. And the app is the best that I've experienced for any type of IP camera. I don't know if they're called IP cameras, but wireless security cameras, I guess, would be the way to describe them. Netgear has been doing such a good job with their Arlo line. The products look good. They function well. Now, I should caveat, I have had my Arlo cameras set off my alarm sometimes when I'm actually here, which is not fun because the alarm goes off when you're sitting right next to it. And it's like Jim Carrey screaming in Dumb and Dumber when he's in that truck. And he's like, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? And he goes, ah! That's what it's like, except it's like 120 decibels, which is enough to like, well, it's not enough to permanently damage your ear, but it's loud and it could damage your ear. So I kind of got some post-traumatic stress when I came into my command studio here a few times because I wasn't totally sure if the alarm had shut itself off and I wasn't sure if it was going to go off in my face. But I think a firmware update ended up fixing that, and I haven't had it happen in a long time. And as long as the alarms aren't going off when you're actually sitting right next to them, this system is incredible. They are expensive. I think like a two-camera system might cost $400, and you can get upwards of, I think, a 5 or 6 camera system for $600, $700.
They had some
bucks.
Special today. I think they were on sale, like a 4 or 5 pack, like on Amazon or something like that, one of those lightning deals.
Do you remember how much it was?
I'd have to look it up.
They're very expensive. They're not cheap. They're not cheap. But they are the best of what's around.
Yeah.
And the Arlo 2s are really nice because they include 1080p, where the previous cameras were 720. And the difference is huge. I mean, the difference in fidelity, it could mean the difference between actually seeing the person who's on the screen and not seeing them because they could be fuzzy versus sharp. So I think the Arlo Pro 2s are the way to go if you decide you want to get some. That's all I got for now. Do you guys have anything else you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, no, no.
Let's wrap it up there. Let's go ahead. And I think maybe next week we'll do our favorite movies of 2018 and then maybe our favorite Apple gadget of 2018 after that. And it's kind of cool because I think most of my favorite stuff this year was Apple stuff, which is the first time that's happened in a while. So we'll pitch more Apple of our favorite Apple gadgets in an upcoming episode. Anyway, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. Did we miss a gadget? Is there some gadget that you want us to check out? We're all on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. I'm at AirFun. Leander is at El Caney. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. You know what's going to happen is as soon as we stop recording, I'm going to think of like 3 things that I really wanted to pitch, but didn't remember. That happens every single year.
You know, we can do it next week.
Hey, we should do this every week. Where's LK? That absolute madman. Where is he?
I don't know, but this better get started soon. I'm about to start drinking.
You should start drinking.
Go get some eggnog.
What kind of alcohol goes into eggnog? I don't think I've actually ever had eggnog with alcohol in it. Oh,
bourbon?
The perfect person to ask just showed up.
Hello.
Leander, what kind of alcohol goes into eggnog?
Oh, I don't know. It's the one alcoholic drink I won't drink. It's absolutely repulsive.
Are you kidding me? It's so delicious and creamy.
Are you kidding? I
go in a bathtub full of it, totally nude, and just drink my way out.
It's like drinking some alcoholic's vomit. They just puked up.
What?
He's speaking from experience.
Without the chunks, of course.
Yuck.